Breakthrough. The Lord will enlighten you today in the name of Jesus Christ. It is well with you. Your testimonies will not be cut off. The voice of rejoicing and salvation will never depart from your household in the name of Jesus Christ. The enemy will not dominate you. The enemy will not destroy you. Your destiny, your calling, you will fulfill in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, I was meditating before during the week. He said, the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich and it has no sorrow. The blessing that God has given you, you will not experience sorrow because of it. You will not experience bitterness in it. That blessing, you will enjoy it till the rest of your life in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. For in Jesus' name we pray. And the church said again, please turn to someone and give them a smile. Hallelujah. And welcome back to church. God bless you. Get it. I love your testimony. Very good. This was panabited, but this was the real deal. Amen. Hallelujah. You've encouraged us with that testimony. It's good to look back and see what God did. Hallelujah. Please, you know, today, you know, let's go straight into business. I'll be teaching. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. That's our third Bible reading. Galatians chapter 6. And we're looking at verse 6 to 10. And that's the main focus of my message today. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6 to 10. And the topic of today's sermon is sowing and reaping. Can we say that together? Amen. This is one of the most fundamental principles of life. Amen. Take the process of, you know, of having a child. You know, you don't have a child in one day. Amen. There is a process. Hallelujah. There's what? A process of sowing. And then at the due time, at the right season, if nothing goes wrong, you reap. Amen? It's a fundamental principle in everything we do in life. There was a time in your life that you started going to school. Yeah, it was a seed. Maybe you didn't realize it there, but it was your parents. They got you to school. Some of us, I said some of us, not some of you, did not like going to school. I remember when I was young, you know, I used to cry, you know, regarding going to school. Maybe because maybe I started school early, you know, I didn't like school. It was the worst thing, you know. But thank God they didn't let me. Hallelujah. They didn't give up. Hallelujah. Today I'm reaping from that seed that has been sown. Everything we do in life is a seed. Everything you do in life is what? A seed. And I tell you something about sowing and reaping. You need to understand that when you are sowing, you don't see the harvest. Hallelujah. You don't see the harvest when you are sowing. The harvest only comes in time, whether good or bad. So that principle is the principle of life. Sowing and reaping. God wanted a family. So you know what God did? God sowed his son. Hallelujah. You see, when Jesus was dying on the cross, it looked like it was finished. Even Jesus himself said what? It is finished. Hallelujah. But he rose. And when he rose from dead, there came forth the family of God. The church was born. And over all nations now, almost every nation on earth, the gospel has reached the place. Hallelujah. Not by force. Not by what? Force. It's the word of faith that is preached and people believe and their lives are transformed. Everything we do in life is a seed. Listen to your neighbor, tell them, say, everything I do in life is a seed. Hallelujah. Yes, we'll read for us Galatians 6, 6 to 10. Yes? Who should we start with? Galatians 6, 6 to 10. Who is feeling like? Okay, but I tell her first. We'll go around, don't worry. Galatians 6, 6 to 10. Please follow in your Bibles. If you need a Bible, we have two spares in the front. Yes?
Verse 6. The one who is taught the word of God is to share all things with his teacher, contributing to his spiritual and material support. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. He will not allow himself to be ridiculed, nor treated with contempt, nor allow his precepts to be scornfully set aside. For whatever a man sows, this and this only is what he will reap. For the one who sows to his flesh, his sinful capacity, his worldliness, his disgraceful impulses, will reap from the flesh ruin and destruction. But one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not grow weary or become discouraged in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap if we do not give in. Verse 10. So then, while we as individual believers have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, not only being helpful, but also doing that which promotes their spiritual well-being, and especially be a blessing to those of the household of faith, born-again believers.
Amen. Now that must be a very amplified version, isn't it? It just really amplifies it. Thank you very much. Okay. So like I said, I'll be teaching from beginning to the end today. First question. You ready? Are you ready, church? Or are you sleeping? Okay. In order to understand this topic, the first question is this. What are the bad seeds? Sorry, I'm going to start like this so we can see that some Christians sow. So again, is it possible for Christians to sow bad seeds? If someone calls themselves a Christian, does it mean they will always do good things? The fact that they are born again, they're a child of God, no longer a slave to fear. Yeah? Does it mean they always sow good seed? What are the bad seeds that Christians sow? Yes, let's go to some of them. Something that a Christian does or can do, or you've seen a Christian do, or you do it, and you can look back and say, that was a bad seed. I've seen some bad seeds in my life. Yeah? Okay. Yes? Yes? And we go to Bratim after.
Being stingy.
Okay. Being stingy. You know, I like that one. It stands like a sting. Being stingy. You know the meaning of being stingy? Anybody? Anybody doesn't know the meaning of... Agnes, do you know the meaning of being stingy? Okay, good. That's good enough. If she can know, that means I've covered all the generations, yeah? Okay, brother Tim?
I think it's similar to what he said. Christians tend to more of so effort, but very difficult to part with their finances. Okay. So that's a no-go area, but I can't... Yeah, that's my own experience, what I've seen over the years.
So thank you, brother Tim. Thank you. Brother Tim is always very frank. Let's ask his wife. Is he always frank at home? He doesn't beat about the bush. Okay, so being stingy or not willing to part with resources. Yeah? But wanting more. You understand? So I it's not only Christians, actually. It's people. Yeah? Yeah, but Christians do it. That's what we're concerned about. Yes, more? And find answers. There's a lot on the list. Yes? So being stingy, not willing to part with anything. Did you put up your hand? No. I'm not trying to force you, okay? Sister Amanda.
Being worried.
Worried, yes. You can worry yourself to sickness. You can worry yourself to depression. You know, you can worry yourself to high blood pressure. Yesterday I went to town. Okay, I took my first son for a lesson. And it was an hour. It was a keyboard lesson. And he was going to miss the teacher was not around next week. So he was going to give him a double lesson, which is 30 minutes plus 30 minutes, 1 hour. And then Kevin had a keyboard lesson too for Tuesday. But we were thinking, because my wife is not driving, you know, they were, you know, just, and he offered to give us, you know, after Sean, another 30 minutes for Kevin. And then I dropped Sean there. And because it was 1 hour, I was like, let me rush to town, get something for Kevin and get back. Actually, before going, he already told me that, look, I should be back in 40 minutes because he would like to overlap part of the lesson. Okay. And then I go to town and there was all this traffic. Okay. It was like 2 o'clock, the worst time. The worst time to go to town is 2 o'clock on a Saturday. Yeah. And so I was there, you know, and the funny thing was I kept missing my way because basically there was traffic. So I was going to Festival Place and I saw the traffic and I turned back. But when I turned back, it was one way and I had to turn back again, you know. So I did like 2-3 times and I found myself back in town. And, you know, as I was approaching town, I saw Festival Place 10 spaces. Okay. I was like, so I will have just wasted my time coming, you know, and then go back, nothing. So I just persisted and I would go. And we find a parking space. And so I was going to get this thing, which was just a ball in Sports Direct. And then while I was there, my wife, she called me. Chris, can you go too? And so the trip got multiplied. And then I started getting in town next yesterday, actually. That was a miracle. It was a bigger miracle because later I found out Brother DJ was not around. So I don't know how she got to the town. And so anyway, 40 minutes went past. You know, and I now became so worried. You know, I text him, I'm running late, but I was really so worried, and I actually could feel my blood pressure rising. Then the Holy Spirit spoke to me. It's only a lesson. It's only what? A lesson. And you can bust it. And then I just confess my sin. I drop it. You know, it's only a lesson. It's not the end of your life. Amen. So I just wanted to explain that. Yes, what are the bad seeds? Imagine that was a bad seed I was sowing that could have hurt me physically. Yes, worry can hurt your health. Yes, Brother Teller, what are the bad seeds that Christians sow today?
Backbite.
Ah, backbiting. Sorry, please, can you explain the meaning of backbiting?
When you speak evil of anyone.
Aha, when you go. No, okay, I got the idea now. It's like you see people. You smile at them. Oh, hello, Christian. Oh, you're looking great today. I just wonderful. Then she walks past and says, Sister Amanda, do you even know? Did you see Christian? You know, she thinks she just, you know, cool. You see all those, you know, things she does. But, oh, Christian comes back in. Oh, Christian, oh, I just like you. Then you go back in. That's what they call what? Backbiting. Okay, yes. More? What are the bad seeds? Oh, Christian.
I was probably going to say judging before you really know someone's situation.
Yes, like, so
I got woken up all night by my crazy neighbor, either somebody visiting, and immediately you disturb my sleep. I'm like, I'm really ratty, and I'm like going outside. I'm seeing like what's going on and all this stuff. So really, probably being judgmental of something. I really didn't know the situation, but when you're tired and then you think about it in the morning, you're like, oh.
All right. Thank you very much. Let me just explain something to you. From that point, it's a good point. You know, the Bible says in Matthew, I think it's in 5, it says, judge not and you will not be judged. But you see, if you read only part of the part of the Bible, you think the Bible means you should not judge anything at all. No, no, no. That what it means is don't judge presumptuously. You don't understand? You have to, in another place, the Bible says we should judge ourselves so that we will not be judged. So, I mean, it's like you're having an appraisal at work. Yeah? Why don't you say your boss is judging you when you're having an appraiser? It's still a form of judgment, an examination, an appraiser. So the judging that is wrong is you form an opinion about something or about someone without having the facts or without knowing the details. More importantly, without really caring about them. Okay? That's the judging. So, but that doesn't mean that you should not judge things. You know, there is good, there are some things that are wrong, and there are some things that are alright. Yeah? A million politicians, a million propaganda cannot make the right thing wrong. Wrong and the wrong thing right in the eyes of God. Yeah? We are to judge rightly. However, we must beware of the sin of presumption. You know, you don't know people's situation, you don't know what they are going through, you don't know the actual details, and you form a conclusion. Yeah? You are judging unrighteously. And that was the example she was giving. Thank you, Sir Chris. It's a very good one. So again, it's a bad seed. It's a bad seed because Bible says when we do that, it will come back to us. Jesus said it. He said it will come back. Yes? Well, let's take a few more. Sister Claudia. Sorry, why I didn't come back to you quickly because you gave one. So let me just, I'll give you the last bit. Yes?
Pride.
Pride. So give an example of pride. Pride is very broad. Because in my own mind, pride is the reason behind all sin. But
feeling like you know everything.
Feeling
that you are self-sufficient.
Yes. Feeling that you know everything, you are self-sufficient. Your opinion is the right one. Yeah, and you're not willing to learn. Okay? And there are many reasons why we can be proud. You can be proud because of your beauty. You can be proud because of your job status. You can be proud because of your age. You can be proud because of what else? Your possession. Yeah? Whatever. You can be proud for many different reasons. Okay? So, okay. Yes, let's have one more, two more. So, bro, team, and yeah, Kevin, you need to sit down there. Yes, Kevin, you need to sit down there. Okay. Bro, team?
Yeah. I would say selective sowing.
Okay.
Because I what I mean by that is, as a Christian, I'm sowing to Brother A's life because I know I might get some reward or eye service. Whereas I know I can sow to Brother B, who is really in need, who needs someone to sow into his life. But I will not do that because I just feel, no, what is the need for me? Whereas selective sowing is kind of.
So, selective sowing means that, now, please don't misunderstand. I've had someone who said to me that, you know, some people pay their tithe to charity. You cannot! Your tithe belongs to the Lord. There's only one place you can put your tithe in the church. It's the house of the Lord. However, beyond your tithe, we should sow. Don't say, oh, I've sown my tithe, I cannot help anybody. That's all. You know, I've met my minimum. Because that's your minimum. No. You know, you want to actually be a blessing to others. But selective sowing means that, you know, and actually a lot of politicians in Africa, I don't know about UK. UK also does it actually. You know, they will put in their money to those that can, you know, repay them in multiples. Okay? So for example, if their friend was having a party, they will just spend and spend and spend. But whereas there may be people in need who've been begging them for just a little piece of what they spent at the party. And they will never release it. Okay? They are doing it for eye service to impress the people they want to catch their attention. It's selective sowing. You know what the Bible says about just about sowing? I'm telling you, the Bible says they already have their reward. God cannot reward. He cannot give anything extra. He said these Pharisees, they give their alms in public so that people can clap for them. He said that's all the reward they will get. Because it's eye service. It's not unto the Lord. They are not doing it because they want to honor the Lord. And usually things we do to honor the Lord are the things that you know that you are doing it not because this person can repay me. In fact, actually, sometimes you don't even feel like maybe the person has offended you. You know what I mean? Well, you do it to honor the Lord. Okay, one more bad seed. I don't want to spend the whole day on bad seeds, but it's good to know where we are coming from. Yes?
Sowing seed of discord.
Ah! Please, can you expatiate on that a little? Let's see where you're coming from.
Sowing seed of discord, as in separating, breaking relationships between people. Any relationship, whether it be friendship or a church or a spouse or whatever.
Oh, yes.
And doing it for the sake of your own gain.
Yes.
And you feeling like you want to have a say in it. But
yes. Thank you. You are quoting Proverbs. Proverbs is a place in Proverbs that it says there are seven things that the Lord hates. It's in Proverbs. But for time, I will not open there. See, there are seven things that the Lord hates. You can Google that. There are seven things that the Lord hates. The first on the list is a proud look. Imagine. A proud look. Just walking about feeling like, you know, a proud look. You say the Lord hates it. Then the last on the list is those who sow discord among brethren. You know, you try to scatter relationship. Because God is about relationship. You know, God honors relationship. First of all, our relationship with God, family, you know, friends. You know, when there's relationship, the society is solid. When relationship breaks down, society breaks down. So the mission of the devil is to break down society. And one of the ways we achieve it is what? Seeds of discord. Now, Christians can sow seeds. Because basically, whenever you are careless, the devil can come and use you. The devil can use you. It depends on who you allow from time to time. Though you are a Christian, you are born again, you can allow the devil to use you. So, let's remember that. Okay, thank you everyone. I think that's enough. For time's sake, we need to move on. So, next question is this. Two questions. Okay, let's do this fast. So, I'll take only two answers. So, tell me, now we've seen that Christians can sow seeds of rebellion and disobedience and whatever. My question is, why do they do it? Why do we sow seeds of bad seeds? Why should a Christian who loves God, is a child of God, comes to church, you know, sings in the choir, you know, maybe even preaches. Why should we so, why do we do it? Yes, two quick answers. Why do Christians sow bad seeds at all? Why? Think about it. Why? It's a good answer.
I think most of it comes down to selfishness and gain.
Selfishness, yes. That's not the answer I'm looking for. But it's a good answer.
Because we live in the world and we do the worldly.
Okay, we live in the world, yes. Look, the answer I'm looking for is this. These answers are right, but this applies to everybody. Everybody does bad things because they are selfish. Yeah. But why? Christians, they love God. They hear the word of God. Why do they do it? That means that in their spirit, they know it's wrong. You know, I don't have to tell you that being stingy is wrong. You know. Why?
Because they're allowing the flesh to rule them, but by the, you know, with the Spirit of God, they can overcome it.
Okay, so they're allowing the flesh. That's, it's a good answer, but that's not what I'm looking for.
Well, I think they need proper understanding. If,
okay.
If you, I mean, proper understanding of, some people sow it, they don't know it's bad.
Yes.
So okay. The Holy Spirit, you need, I mean, they think they do have, but okay. They don't.
Let me unify those answers. It's valid now. It's one of my perfect answers. Lying the flesh. Christians usually lie the flesh because they don't understand. So they allow because they don't understand. So that's valid. But now I want to change the gear and say, what about those who understand? So a set of Christians do it because they don't know what they are doing. They don't understand it as bad. They are lying the flesh. That's a solid reason. But what of those who understand and still do it? Now, obviously, you can still tell me they don't understand. Because in the deepest level of understanding, you will, anything you understand in your spirit, you cannot do again. Because, you understand? Because it becomes an unforgiving. Once you can, if you are fully enlightened spiritually, you will not, you will change. However, let's look at it that you understand in your mind, but you still do. Why? Yes, let's just quickly.
Because you take pleasure in it.
Pleasure, yes. That's valid. No, you can understand something very clearly that this thing is very bad and do it for pleasure. We come back to the flesh. Yes, I'll come back to you. But that's not my perfect answer. That's not my perfect answer. You will see why it's not my perfect answer. Yes?
I think sometimes Christians that understand can take their eyes off focus, take their
why?
Eyes off faith.
Why? Why do they do it?
Consumed with facts, the realities they see.
Yes,
not
okay.
Walk in faith anymore.
Yes, that's a good,
like,
good
you know,
answer.
When you started to walk.
Yes, it's a good answer. But it's not perfect. Last one, for time's sake.
I was going to say, it can probably be over-influenced by other people trying to blend in.
Yes.
And
so
some people, I don't know, within a place where people don't
in an atmosphere where
and they can be influenced by
yes.
other people's like influence on them and
external influence.
It's like
yes.
it's like clouding
peer
their,
pressure.
Clouding their judgment and
yes.
they're trying to blend in and things like
absolutely
that.
Absolutely good answer. Not perfect but good. It's good. They're all good. You understand? The reason why I just didn't make them perfect is because if we continue with this good answer, we all have many different answers. Let me give you an answer, I think. So, yes, on the one side, Christians do it because they don't understand. They don't understand. It's a valid reason, but there are those who understand and still do it. Let me tell you why they do it. Because they think they can get away with it. Now, when you know you can't get away with something, it changes the way you approach it. You get it? So, you know, for example, let me give an example. If you are driving on the road in UK, you're on the motorway, there is no camera, there is no policeman, there is nothing. You will cruise nicely. Okay, I don't want to know the speed, but you will enjoy yourself. Now, the moment you see a police vehicle in the middle lane, it changes the way you drive. Okay. Let's assume that in addition to that, you see speed cameras. Then what? It changes. So the ultimate reason why Christians sow bad seeds, when they have understood that it's bad seed, is that they think they can get away with it. Okay? So let's go for another question, and then we tidy it up. So the other question is, on the other side is this. Okay. The same question, but I'm reversing it so you can understand. Same question, but I want to reverse this. Why do Christians refuse to sow good seeds? So we have explained why they sow bad seeds. But now, maybe there are some things you know that you should be doing. Now, remember, we're talking about some things you know that you shouldn't do. That's what we've done. But let's assume that you know there are some things that, ah, as a Christian, I should do this. But why do Christians refrain from sowing good seed? Do you get the question? Am I communicating? Yes. Let's take some few answers. Okay? So thinking the other way, don't answer me in the same way of the last question. Someone knows that they should do something good. They know it's the right thing. They know they've seen in the word of God that this is what I should be doing. But they don't do it. Why? Let's go for it.
I'd say because other people's judgmental opinions on it.
All right, so this influence is a big factor.
You're gonna be questioned. Yes. Why would you do that?
Yes, please. Let's. I think the Holy Spirit is giving us a point there. Please, let's remember that, you know, who we are listening to, who we are talking to, can really affect our lives and our destiny. You may know the right thing to do. You may want to do the right thing. But if you keep listening to the wrong people, you will not. They will sow bad seeds into your heart. Okay, so I take it as a good answer. Very good. Not excellent, but very good. Yes. I have just one answer. Why do Christians refrain from sowing good seed? When they know that good seed and they should do it.
Talk for myself.
Yes, go on.
We are stubborn.
They what? Stubborn. You know, that's another very good. If today was prize day, you know, you get a prize for that. It's a very good answer. Stubborn. That is, you know, stubborn means that I know I should do this thing, but you know what? I will not do it. Even if I die, I will not do it. That's stubbornness. Yes. Any other person? One last answer, and I'll give you my answer. So that's a very good answer. Very good. Yes?
Well, I think justifying why they should not do it.
Okay, so they rationalize.
Yeah.
And they deceive themselves. And then, basically, they rationalize in their head, and they get their head to agree.
And they believe they can just ask for forgiveness.
Oh, yeah.
God, you see my situation. I can't do this thing. Please forgive me. I'll do it next
time. I like that because that's a very frank answer. You know, let me just make a comment on that. You know, I'm sure that all of us, one way or the other, have been caught in that situation where you are caught up in a situation and you do something and you know that this is not right. Or you refuse to do something right. But you were struggling. It could be influence, it could be flesh, whatever. And then you ask for forgiveness. Okay? I don't want to overjudge that. But you know what? What I want to say is that if you are doing that all the time, you are practicing rebellion. You know, if it's one off, yeah? It's different. But if it's now a constant way of life, then that's where the problem. But very good answer. Okay, let's stop there for time because I still want to do one last question before we finish. So the perfect answer I have is this. You know, what the answer about Tim said is, he also touched on the fact that, you know, they can ask for forgiveness. It means they can get away. If I do something, I feel like I can ask for forgiveness and everything is wiped off, that means I got away with it, isn't it? So the other answer to it is, why Christians receive from sowing good seed is this. So this is my answer. Because you know something is good, you don't do it. You know why? You are looking for a quick fix solution. You understand? So basically, why will you sow your seed when you can eat it? Like you're hungry. You're hungry and you have this seed. So let's assume it's food. You are very hungry. And now someone says, oh, look, if you sow this seed, God will bless it. And you will have so much that in the future you will not be hungry again. But that's future. Now I'm hungry. I need food. So you know something is good, you know you should do it, but you want the one that will give you a solution now. So, I need a breakthrough. Okay, you need a breakthrough. Okay, do you understand faith? You say, I don't understand faith. Okay, give you some book. Read on faith. If you can develop your faith, you will be having breakthroughs all the time. No, I say, I don't need faith. What I need now is a quick prayer, because I need a breakthrough tomorrow. Do you understand? So, quick faith solution. Why should I give my money to God when I can meet my need now? Yeah? So, the reason why we don't sow good seed is because there is a gap between sowing and reaping. And the same reason why we sow bad seed is because there is a gap between sowing and reaping. You get it? If we sow today and we reap today, everybody will sow good seed and nobody will sow bad seed. Are you with me? Now let's begin to round up on that note. So let's just go to Galatians and I'll explain that. We'll finish. Galatians 6, go to Galatians 6 again where we've read. I just want to read that scripture to you again. And I explain how it works. And then we'll finish there. Galatians 6, 7. Galatians 6, 7. And Galatians 6, 7. Let's just leave it as verse 7 for time's sake. Galatians 6, 7. Are you there? Galatians 6, 7. Okay? It says, don't be misled. Please turn to your neighbor, tell them, say, don't. Agnes, turn to your dad. Don't be afraid. Say, don't be misled. God cannot be mocked. You see, every time you rationalize something, you are mocking God. You know why? You think that God did not see your act. You think that all God sees is what you come and present in public. You know, it's like somebody who did not have a shower for 3 days, but they perfume the whole thing and they come out in public. You know, it doesn't matter what's happening inside, yeah? What is public? So everybody's, yes, it smells so beautiful. It smells like heaven. Maybe the name of your perfume is what? Heaven. Hallelujah. But God saw what was going inside. That's the meaning. So that's why I said don't be misled, because actually God, the moment you are rationalized, God saw it. When you have an intention in your mind to do something not right, God sees it. When you change your mind, God sees it. You see what I'm trying to say? God cannot be mocked. He sees every detail. Do you understand? Now, let's continue. And I'll round up on that note. Let's continue. Galatians 6, 7. Now, he said, please tempt your neighbor, tell them, say, whatever you sow, that you will reap. Please, you know what? If you can understand that, you will make the most of your life. Let me quickly put this in. Laziness is not spiritual in any way. If you are lazy, yeah, you are moving the kingdom of God backward. You know why? Because you are just wasting your life. Are you with me? If you sow laziness, you will reap emptiness. Are you with me? If you want to move forward, you got to put in something. Hallelujah. You got to put in time. You got to put in effort. You got to put in resources. Hallelujah. However, that's not the only thing you need. You also need wisdom to know where, how. But the fact that you're waiting for wisdom does not mean you do nothing. Because I guarantee you that those who sow nothing reap what? Oh, no, look, please. Let's say it again. Those who sow nothing reap nothing. Now, let me explain. He said, whatever you sow, that you will reap. So, the fact that's a time difference. So I see people. I just want to talk about the bad side and the good side. We finish. I see people. They make up their mind that they're going to do something wrong. They're Christians. They know it's wrong. But maybe they got angry. You know, who said this? About, you know, you can do something wrong because somebody annoyed you. And you just make up your mind that, okay, you did that to me, I will show you. And sometimes it even happens between spouses, you know, husband and wife, or even between siblings, yeah? They know it's wrong, but they do it. Now, the reason why they do it is not because they didn't know it's wrong. It's because they cannot see that they are sowing bad seed. Now, in my experience, sometimes it takes 3 months, 6 months. They start. I've just seen just a recent example. Someone sowed the bad seed, and they just did it. Nobody can ask you because they just did it. Time went. A year has gone. They come back now. I'm seeing the result of that bad seed. Funniest thing that they may look and never connect it to. So why is my life like this? The reason why your life is like that is because you sowed that bad seed. Are you with me? The reaping doesn't happen immediately. Now, let me also explain about good seed. Sometimes when you are sowing good seed, you know, let me give an example. Like, you know, like if you are new to tithing, you may say, they say we should be, I've been paying this thing 2 months, 3 months. Nothing else. My situation has not changed. Your situation may not change in 2 months or 3 months. Your current situation is a product of the seed you sowed before. You understand? That's why verse 9 says, Lord, don't let us be weary in doing good. Because there is a season for sowing and there's a season for reaping. If you are not, if you don't stop your sowing, when you reap, you're reaping. Someone said if you are continuously sowing good seed, you will continue. When the reaping starts, it will not break. Hello, listen. If you are continuously sowing good seed, it didn't break, there may be time. But when the reaping starts, it will what? Not break. Because you'll be reaping and reaping what you were sowing and sowing. Are you with me? Yeah? So let me quickly round up on this. Key question. It's not good to leave you like this. The question is, if you are sowing bad seed, how can you stop a bad harvest? Yes? Quick question. Yes, let's take two answers. Someone has been sowing bad seed for whatever reason. Influence, pride, offense, pleasure, stinginess. Then finally they realize that, oh, what do you mean I've been sowing bad seed and I don't want to reap a bad harvest? What can they do to stop the bad harvest? Let's try who has not spoken. So, Sister Ronke, someone has been sowing bad seed but they want to stop a bad harvest, which is sure to come. How can they stop it? Or is it unstoppable?
They can repent.
Repentance, yes, that's a perfect answer. What else? Is it just repentance? Because if it's just repentance, like Brother Tim said, he said they can always ask God for forgiveness. Yes? Okay, wait. It's a good answer, but let me give you physical. You planted something into the ground. A bad seed. Now, this one not to that. When that thing grows, it will poison the whole land. You realize, what do you have to do? Of course, you have to repent. It means that you have to change your mind about it. Not want to keep it. But what's the next thing to do immediately?
You have to stop doing it.
You have to stop building. Yeah, I'm looking for a better word.
Apologize.
Yes, another word. Yes, give me that. You have to do what? Uproot. Hello? If you don't want to read a bad harvest, it's not enough to ask for forgiveness. You have to go and uproot what you planted. Otherwise, it will continue to grow. Are you with me? How do you uproot what you planted? Apologize. Yes, what else? Let's look. There are many ways of uprooting, yes? Restitution, yes, I will explain that, yes. You said something before.
Prison.
So you said so a good thing or something.
Go to prison.
you cannot remove bad seed. Yeah. Do you want to say something?
Is it like, I think you said like sowing good seed.
Sowing good seed, yeah, but did you say that? That's what you said, I was coming back to you. Let me just explain it. Look, if you sow a bad seed, you come to a point you realize you sow a bad seed. First thing, you need to go to God and ask for forgiveness. But that's not enough. To the limit of the damage that your bastard has done, you should try to make amend. You may not, now remember, you cannot fully make amend. But to the limit of what God enables you to do, you should what? You should make amend. Someone who stole a bicycle and prayed to God to forgive them for stealing should not keep that bicycle. Except maybe they can find the owner. Maybe the owner has died and he has no family. you get what I mean? Yeah? So that's what we call restitution. We make amend. We try to make it right. Not to pay back. You can't pay back for what you've done wrong. But you can hasten the healing process. So you don't... Because if you heal the wound you've created, you can stop a bad harvest or at least minimize it. Are you with me?